Well, good evening, everyone. So we have this question before us, as we have it up on the screen, I hope. Yeah, has no question mark, but it is a question, I assure you. What is a saint? I'll just read out to you a section from a religious encyclopedia, which says something along these lines. A belief that saints, whether canonized, made saints by a process or acclaimed, in other words, having earned it and are given the title without going through a process, don't need to worry about that, that saints are already in heaven, and one of the requirements for becoming a saint is proof of miracles performed by the possible saint after his death. Now, what we want to look at this evening is what the Bible says about saints. And let's have and see what the biblical definition of a saint is. In order to do that, we're going to have a look and see where the word saint appears in the Bible, have a look at the context, and what the word saint means in the original Hebrew, in the Old Testament, and Greek in the New. We're going to begin in that reading we took together in Deuteronomy and chapter 33. And here we have in this chapter, in the first five verses that we've read, the word saint appearing twice. And here God is speaking to and about his people Israel, who he has brought out of Egypt, separated them from the land of Egypt where they were in bondage to the Egyptians, brought them out in a wilderness journey to bring them to their promised land that we know now as the land of Israel. So that's who he's speaking to and who he's speaking about. Verse 2 reads this. He said, "The Lord came from Sinai, rose up from Seir unto them," and that's the journey they were taking through the wilderness, through the mountainous region of Sinai. And then it goes on, "He shined forth from Mount Paran and came with 10,000s of saints. From his right hand went a fiery law for them." And it was at Sinai that God gave to them his law, the law of Moses, as we know, including the Ten Commandments. And when he gave the law, we read of the mountain being on fire, hence it's called a fiery law. So we can link very much the words here to the journey of Israel as they came out of Egypt and through a wilderness. So what does this word saint here that we have in this verse mean? Well, the word in the Hebrew is the word kodesh, which means and is most commonly translated holy. The word holy, as it appears in the Old Testament, very commonly is this same word. It's also translated as sanctuary, holiness, dedicated, hallowed, consecrated. And with that variety of ways in which the word used, it's generally accepted that the word saint means something that is separated. Okay, separatedness, sacredness, holiness. And holiness is separation. Separated unto God, in effect. So really that's what God is saying here. God had separated his people out of Egypt, set them apart from Egypt, brought them into the wilderness. And there he speaks to them and refers to them as his saints. It also occurs in the next verse here, in verse 3 here, where he says, "Yea, he loved the people, all his saints are in thy hand." He led them through the wilderness, as we read, by his hand. And he indeed loved them. This word saint is a slightly different word in the original. It's from the same origin as kodesh, but here it's kodosh, and here it is also translated holy, but it's generally used in a more singular form, the holy one. And again, it's something holy, something sacred, or something set apart. So we've got a common theme. It's something set apart. It's a person or people set apart from one thing to another. There's one other word in the Hebrew which is translated in the English as a saint. And it's in the 1 Samuel chapter 2. I've put the verse up there on the screen. We have this verse here in Samuel that says, God, he will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. So again, it's talking about God being with someone. He will protect, look after, keep a saint, as opposed to the wicked. They won't prevail. And this word is, again, it's similar, it's korsed, and again, it's translated saints, holy, merciful, holy one, a godly man. And that's an interesting way in which it's translated, a godly man. So we're getting, the idea of someone who is godly, someone who is faithful, someone who is worthy. So we've got two aspects here. One, a saint is someone set apart. And here, we're almost given the reason why they're set apart. Because they are godly, because they want to worship God. They're set apart because they wish to be with God. And that really is giving us the sort of a clue as to what a saint is. Someone who's set apart to God because they want to be. And indeed, Israel were a case in the wilderness. They had requested that God should bring them out of Egypt because of their bondage. Now, when we come to the New Testament, obviously that's written in Greek, but the word saint appears also in the New Testament. We have an example in Matthew and chapter 27, verse 52, where after the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, we read, let's have a look at it. Perhaps we will look this one up. Matthew chapter 27. It's important for us to get the context of this one. To get it right. Matthew, Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27. We're at the time where the Lord Jesus Christ is being crucified, and we read of his death in verse 50 of Matthew 27. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the spirit. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. So here are people who had believed in God, but had died before Jesus. But they were raised from the dead at the moment that Jesus was crucified. The word saint here in the Greek is the word hagios. Interesting, it comes from the word hagos, which means an awful thing. And that's another story, but what the idea is that the saint is someone who comes from an awful thing to something better. Anyway, we have here the way in which it's translated. Holy, saints, holy one. Again, very similar to the Old Testament, isn't it? A most holy thing is really what it means. So, what are we being taught by this? Well, in the verses we've looked at, we have saints being those that have already died in Matthew, but in Deuteronomy, very much people who are already alive and walking through the wilderness with God, both being referred to as saints. I contend to you that there are many examples in the Bible where people are referred to as being saints who are very much alive and ordinary people at the time. Psalm 16 says this, "But to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is my delight." So here it's talking about saints who are in the earth, not in heaven. The Bible is very specific there. Saints who are in the earth, it speaks of. we have some people who are specifically spoken of as being saints. The Apostle Paul himself is referred to as being a saint. Ephesians 3, unto me, and this is Paul speaking himself, who am less than least of all the saints. And he's writing this while he's still alive. Is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles? So he considered that he was amongst many saints. And those saints that he thought he was amongst were those that believed in God, who worshipped God and followed him, and were quite happy to be set apart from the world around them, to be worshippers of God. And he was one of them. The Lord Jesus Christ is prophesied of in Micah chapter 7, where we read, the good man is perished out of the earth. There is none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. And that's a prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was going to be crucified, as we have just read in Matthew. He was the good man, and he perished out of the earth. There was none upright except him, and many people lied in wait for his blood. But the word good there is the same word that's translated as a saint in many other places in the New Testament. Final example, one from the Old Testament, Aaron, the high priest, the first high priest, the brother of Moses. We read in Psalm 106, they envied Moses also in the camp, and Aaron, the saint of the Lord. So Aaron was envied while he was alive. Again, that was part of the wilderness journey that we've already seen. So we can see very much people, while they're still very much alive on the earth, being referred to as saints. And the reason they're referred to as saints is because of their faith and their following of the ways of God. So as we have said then, our interpretation is perhaps best rendered saints as being those that are set apart. Psalm 4 says, but know that the Lord hath set apart him that is a saint. That's what the word godly is. Again, it's translated as saint on many other occasions. It's one of our words for saint. So God has set apart him that is a saint for himself. And that is the best definition of a saint we could find. God sets it out plainly for us. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Again, we see that. So, set apart from what? I've probably already answered this, but let's take our biblical interpretation and the evidence from the Bible of it. Set apart from what? And again, I'm putting the verses up. You'll be reading from your Bibles in a moment. We've got many verses to look up. We're just setting the scene really here. So set apart from what? Well, Psalm 97. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. And here's a contrast. The saints are contrasted to the wicked. The saints are those that hate evil, that separate themselves from wickedness and evilness. And God, because they do that, will preserve them, preserve their lives when it comes to the kingdom when Jesus returns. Again, taking a New Testament example in the Gospel of Luke. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. If you do that, you're blessed. You're a holy one. You're a saint. Doesn't use the word saint there, but you see the principle. That's what God wants us to do. That's the action of a saint. To separate ourselves from those things that are contrary to the ways and the will of God. So here we are to separate ourselves from the ways of the world, but not just from something, to God and to the ways of God. Because you see, as humans, naturally speaking, we are set apart from God before we come to a knowledge of God. That is our natural state. We read in Colossians these words, "You that were sometime alienated or separated and enemies in your mind by wicked works." You see, wicked works separate us from God. That's the means of separation. So what we've got to try and do is conquer that, is to try and eradicate the wicked works. So how are saints different from other humans? Well, Colossians goes on and says, "Yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death," that's Jesus' body, "to present you holy, a saint, and unblameable and unreprovable." So if we come and worship God, then this separation can be done away with. God can draw us unto him as a saint. But that's only been made possible because the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins, that our sins might be able to be forgiven, that our wicked works can be taken away. Romans says this when Paul wrote to them, "He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." That's what the work of the Lord Jesus Christ has been. To make intercession, to be a go-between between the saints and God. Those who want to be part of God's promises, then Jesus can make it possible for the gap between the saints and God to be breached, for us to be made like unto Jesus with our sins removed. One other example in 1 Corinthians, where we read, "Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord." So there it is. That's what a saint must do. If we want to be called saints, then we must call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. We can only call upon his name if we know it and come to a knowledge of him and his work through the reading of God's word. So then, in summary, as far as we have God, a saint is one who is set apart from the wicked ways of the world and chooses to be so, separated unto the ways of God by his way of life and actions, acknowledging that mistakes will still be made by us all because we're human, but the work of the Lord Jesus Christ as our go-between, our intercessor, makes it possible for our wicked works that separate us from God to be removed and therefore for us to be reconciled to God. So we can all, therefore, be saints. Every one of us. And it's not a choice of somebody else in a committee saying who or who shouldn't be a saint. It's down to us as to whether we wish to be a saint or not. Because we can make the choice ourselves, and there are things that we can do about it. So, what are the requirements to become a saint? Now this is where we're going to look up one or two verses. I'm going to put up a list of five things to begin with that I would suggest are required in order for us to be a saint. First thing is we have to believe in God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to Psalm 31. Again, if you just want to listen me read the verses out, that's fine. If you want to look it up, it's Psalm 31. And it's at verse 23. And this is the sense of what is being said here. Psalm 31, verse 23. Here's the commandment. "O love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doers." So here it is. We need to love God and his son, and we need to be faithful to his ways. And the only way we can love God and be faithful unto him is if we believe in him and we have a knowledge of him. And that knowledge has to have some understanding. We need to know who God is what he's about, what the Lord Jesus Christ has done, and what it means to us. Come to Matthew and chapter 13. Here in one of the parables of the Lord Jesus Christ, the parable of the sower. The seed was sown, the seed being the word of God, into various types of ground that represented different types of people. We're going to look at the good type of people, the faithful type of people, the saints, if you like. Verse 23 of Matthew 13. He that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth. So there it is. Those that are the good ground, who seek to please God, must hear God's word and seek to understand it. So there's our second requirement for being a saint. Third one, that will lead to baptism. Not our subject tonight, but a step in our process. Mark chapter 16. This sort of pulls together where we've got to in this list, really. Verse 16 of Mark 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So that belief and that understanding leads to an action in life, which is to be baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to confess our belief in God and have our past sins washed away. Following baptism then, there is a need then for the rest of life to be lived. But it must be lived in a way of obedience to that knowledge and understanding we have of God's word. Again, Romans chapter 16 speaks of this as a key consequence of baptism, an essential follow-on step. Romans chapter 16, covered at verse 15. Salute Philologus and Julia, Nereus and his sister Olympus, and all the saints which are with them. There we are, there are saints, believers, assembling with them in a meeting, if you like. Verse 16, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches or ecclesias of Christ salute you. Now, I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offences contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Now, this is a bit of a warning here. We're using this verse as a warning. What he's saying is, if you are a saint and have become a saint, if you like, through baptism, then be careful about how you act afterwards. There were some here who had left the doctrine or the learning that was the true way. They'd left it. And because of that, they were no longer saints, really. And so it's essential then that following an entry into the family of God through baptism, that we continue to follow in the ways of our understanding of the word of God. In verse 19, he commends those that hadn't left the true way. Verse 19, for your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I'm glad, therefore, on your behalf. So there were some that hadn't left it, that kept a hold of their understanding in their belief, and they're commended for their obedience. And with that obedience comes a daily godly life, a life which is in its own way acceptable to God. Romans chapter 12, we'll use that verse as our example. Romans and chapter 12. Let's come in a bit earlier. Verse 9. Here are some qualities, really, that are required of saints that is being described. Verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honour, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. Weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things. We could go on. We could have begun earlier. A lovely list of things that we know are good and right, and that we should follow. Sometimes we fail, we know. But here is the ideal. This is the things that we should be striving for. And here, one of the key themes through this is not being selfish, is really looking to the needs of others. Comes through a number of those verses, doesn't it? And in particular there, verse 13, distributing to the necessity of saints. Those, your fellow believers around you, look to them, who are your fellow saints, and see what their needs are, and see if you can supply them and help them out in their time of need or in their time of trouble. So you can see with all these things that they're all within our grasp. They're all things that we can do. Okay, we may not end up being perfect in these things, but we can certainly strive for them. God knows we're not perfect, and that's why we have a mediator, an intercessor, a go-between, the Lord Jesus Christ, who can mediate on our behalf, and where we do fail, can come before God and explain that we would not have done those things if we'd have thought more carefully. And we see, therefore, belief, understanding, by reading God's word, baptism, something we could easily undertake, obedience, we can do that once we know what we have to do and what we shouldn't do, and leading a godly life is all within our grasp. So this is what being a saint is all about. You might say, well, that's all well and good, but when I die, what does that mean? What happens to me being a saint then? Is that the end of the process, or is there more to come? Well, certainly there is more to come if we have really embraced these things in our lives to the best of our abilities. There is more to come. You come with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Verse 13 reads like this. We'll take verse 12 for connection. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Lord Jesus Christ, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. So verse 12 is very much like that description we read of just now of the qualities of a saint. But he says, you do that, but there is something to follow. There's an end, which is at the coming of our Lord with his saints. So the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return to this earth at some point, we know. He's going to establish a kingdom. And what's going to happen at that time? Well, we have four stages here we're going to put up. There's going to be a resurrection. Of all those that have known God, that have died before Jesus returns. Come to Psalm 116. Well, let's see, when Jesus returns, what does the Bible say happens to the saints? Psalm 116. Verse 15. Now this indicates to us that the death of a saint is not the end. Verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Now, why should that be precious? Because it's not the end, and something better is to come. That's why it's precious. Something better is to come. And we read in Matthew 27 of the saints being raised from the dead when Jesus was crucified. And so there is a resurrection to come of those that have died before Jesus comes back. Why are they going to be raised? Well, for something better, yes, but what is that something better? Well, the next step is there's going to be a judgment. Romans chapter 14. We've said all along those things that we need to do, that godly life we must lead, the obedience we must show to God, an understanding of his word. But when Jesus comes back, he will look at us to see what we have done with that and to what extent those things have been in our lives. Romans 14 in verse 10. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And here he is speaking to believers, the believers in Rome. He said, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ when he comes back. Every one of us will. And what will happen to those that Jesus looks upon and sees that they have tried in their lives to undertake those qualities of a saint and to put them into their lives? Well, he will bring them into his kingdom and he will change their nature. Psalm 97. And this is why the death of the saints is precious in the eyes of God. Because their next moment might well be the granting of immortality. What could be more precious than that? Immortality, where there's no more death, no more pain, no more suffering. Psalm 97, verse 10. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. Here it is. God will preserve the life. That's what the word soul mean. Of his saints. Those that have maintained the qualities of a saint in their lives. He will preserve their life. He will give them immortality. When Jesus returns. You see, that's in our hands too. While we can't enter the kingdom of God without the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, without him having sacrificed his life so that our sins can be forgiven, yet we know that unless we have tried to have the quality of saints, a sainthood in our lives, then we can't be in God's kingdom. But if we do try, we can. And so God has said that he will change our nature if we have tried, and there is the condition. Philippians chapter 3. Perhaps we will look at this one. I do like this verse myself. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 21. This is the promise given to those that set themselves apart from the things of the world to God. Verse 20. For our conversation or way of life is in heaven, from whence we look for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it might be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things to himself. And there it is. Our body could be changed to be like unto his. And his now, as he sits with God in heaven, is an immortal body. There is our promise. And then finally, the establishment of God's kingdom. The place where the immortal saints can dwell with the Lord Jesus Christ. And there will be a work to be done by the saints when that day comes. Come to Daniel and chapter 7. It's a prophetical book here, and it's a subject of prophecy in Daniel chapter 7, looking forward to the days when Jesus will return. And it says in verse 22, until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Judgment is to be given to the saints. They will be asked to rule this earth with Jesus when he returns, and possess the kingdom, dwell there with him. And therefore, there is a future work to be done by the saints. We read this verse before, but we get the sense here that the saints are to be given the work of judgment or rulership. The world itself will need to be ruled, and it will be done by the saints. Again, we get the same idea here. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, that's the kingdom to come, whereof we speak. What he goes on to imply is that that is given to the saints. The angels do it for God now. They're in heaven doing God's will upon earth. That will be done by the saints. As we read here in the Psalms, that the work is here to execute upon them judgment. To execute upon them the judgment written. This honour have all his saints. So the saints will execute the judgments that God has written, which are to take place upon this earth. So we see then in our subject here, hopefully, the biblical way in which the saints are presented to us, and how it presents to us an opportunity for us to engage in these things and to be part of it. To become a saint, in one sense, is nothing special. It is available to us all. In another sense, it is very special, because the end result of it is beyond perhaps our current comprehension of being able to live an immortal life upon this earth with the Lord Jesus Christ and with God himself. That is the promise that has been made, and it is there for us to accept or to reject, but nevertheless, that is the Bible teaching. And really, we're going to conclude here with this verse, that perhaps our next step, if we haven't taken it, is this, as we read in Corinthians. Wherefore, come out from among them, be ye separate. That's what a saint is, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean. Be different to the ways of the world. And he says, I will do this thing. I will receive you as one of my saints, one of my family. But it's up to you to do this bit, to be separate from the things that you know are not right.